take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Mondays can be pretty strange. Tuesdays, obviously, as well. And Wednesday mornings, early, definitely. My guest is Mel Waters of Mel's Hole fame. And now we've got a new hole. And this one's really something. And something about a sheep coming up in a moment. All right, just about to get back to Mel Waters, and he had brought up the subject of a sheep, which apparently they were considering lowering 1,500 feet into the hole. Now, we were having fun last week with Mel's Hole, talking about it a little bit. We knew he was going to be on. And somebody said, well, why not toss a cat down Mel's Hole and see what happens? Now, of course, you know, I'm a cat lover, and so this is not cruelty, because nobody is seriously suggesting tossing a cat down Mel's Hole, but some very creative person with a sound blaster and some talent and a little manipulation created what it would sound like if a cat were to be tossed into Mel's Hole. It's meant, obviously, as pure comedy. This is not actually a cat being tossed into Mel's Hole, but here is the way he represented it would sound. It's the second one that gets me. Not the first one. The first one is pretty good, as you hear the echo of the cat disappearing down the hole. It's the second little one. There he goes. That was what somebody thought it would sound like, Mel.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, you decided that you would lower a sheep 1,500 feet down as low as the ice had gone into the hole.
Well, we had decided that we were going to take the sheep and put them in a crate and lower them into the hole. We led the sheep to the hole, and it just started freaking out. I mean, you know, we didn't make...
Like every other animal.
Yeah, it was like totally...
Not happy.
It was not happy. And I, you know, I have a lot of respect for animals, and it's amazing what animals really know and what they sense.
Well, you're right about that. And so if it was terrified...
It was terrified, so the bass got the sheep away from the hole. And again, a lot of what I'm going to say now, I am thoroughly ashamed of.
That's all right. Just give us the raw truth.
He basically stunned... the sheep by knocking it between the eyes, got into the crate, got the cable and line hooked up to it, so, you know, it was all securely attached, and just about when we got to the hole, the sheep just started making horrible noises, so he stunned it, but he didn't kill the sheep, okay, he just knocked it out.
Yeah.
So it was live when it went in the box, and then it stirred when it got to the hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just making the worst god-awful noises. We were getting it about ready to let it go into the hole.
Yeah. And even though it had been hit in the head?
It stirred by the time we got it crated up into the crate. There was enough room for it to lie down, and I guess if it wanted to, it could stand up. I don't know. Yeah. This is not pleasant to talk about, but we take the sheep and it's screaming and just the most piercing, horrible, ghastly noises coming out of this crate. Until we get it right over where we're going to let it into the hole, and then everything just stops dead silent. There's not a sound coming out of that box. There's movement coming out of the box. You can still tell.
But no sound.
There's no sound anymore.
Well, there's something about this hole in sound, isn't there?
I guess we will make that assumption. And so we started winching this sheep down into the hole, and you can feel from the line as we're lowering that the thing is struggling, fighting. I don't know if it's screaming down there, but we're not hearing this thing screaming. And I think we got about halfway down into the hole, and it was about to say 700 feet, and then the any movement that might have been coming from the crate, we couldn't
feel it anymore.
No, we couldn't feel anything. So I don't know, at 700 feet or so, about half the line, what happened over there. When we got to at this point here, the original experiment with the ice, you know, we were kind of nonchalant about it. You know, we just kind of lowered it down there. Well, with this one here, we were all gathered around the top of the hole there, looking in, seeing
probably
what's going on.
Probably very apprehensive.
You know, this is this is a serious business here. When we hit the bottom, we felt up there, we felt like a vibration on the on the collar at a point in time when it was down there, and it's kind of hard to describe.
Well, what do you mean when you hit the bottom?
When we hit the bottom of the rope, the cable line assembly that we had.
When it was all the way playing out?
Yeah, when we got there, we felt, and it vibrated, it felt like a vibration, and sort of like a static-y electricity type kind of feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That we could feel up there.
Yeah.
And so we got it down to, 1,500 feet, and we left it there for about a half an hour. And then we decided to, bring it back up.
Right, sure.
So we're hoisting this thing up here, cranking away, getting this thing up on there, and it's kind of a job. So, we finally get up to the surface, and we got the box out of there, and the one thing we notice is there isn't any movement in the box. Okay,
no,
there's no box.
No.
We get the box there, and but the box from the outside looked pretty normal. You know, it didn't look like some weird transformation had occurred or anything.
Right.
Oh, I wanted to describe to you how tell you about the ice that came up that didn't melt.
Right.
What it felt like. You get a lot of electronic equipment, and you get those do not eat packets.
Oh, yes.
The desiccant.
Yes.
Ever take the desiccant out of the packet?
No, never.
No? Well, if you take it out there and you feel the desiccant between your fingers, that's kind of what it felt like. That's the best thing I could describe it at. I had that sort of... you try it someday, and you'll.
Yeah, I've always just thrown those away.
Oh, well, you don't eat them, obviously.
No.
Okay, so I just struck me there that, I'm trying to describe this thing in the detail that I can, and so I just led back to the desiccant. But we open up the crate, and the sheep is dead. It looks like a sheep. Okay, it looks like a normal sheep over
right
there, and
it's dead.
It's dead. There's no sign of life. You know, you poke at it. There's nothing, nothing going on with this sheep here. He's dead. Well, I'm saying here, but that's a generic he. And I don't know from sheep. Okay, you show me a sheep, I can't tell what it is.
Gotcha. Me either.
Okay, but we take it out of the box, and one of the Basques lays it on the table that we have over there, and he is going to dissect the sheep.
Oh.
Now, on the outside, the sheep looked just fine. You know, the hair, that the wool, whatever a sheep has, looks fine. Looked like we said that the sheep looked like how he looked when we sent him into the hole.
Minus a bump on the head, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, and he stirred from that. But he started cutting into the sheep, mm-hmm. And it looked like the sheep had been cooked. It was the flesh was hot underneath, when he started cutting through the sheep here. It looked like the sheep had been cooked.
Oh, my.
Now these Basque guys, they're pretty good at butchering a sheep there, and they know their way around a sheep, and so they pretty much can butcher and they know what to expect when you open up a sheep.
Right.
We got the sheep on this table that we eat that, and You know, this guy's cutting the sheep open here, and he gets it so he can look inside and see the internal organs, like he's going to eviscerate the sheep.
Right.
Except they're not what we expected.
What do you mean?
It looks like there was gel in the cavity there, and something that looked like this huge tumor, and almost taking up the entire length of the body cavity.
Oh, Mel.
I mean, it's pretty hideous.
Oh, God.
I'm getting kind of sick. I get kind of sick thinking about this thing too. But I was getting kind of sick when I was there, so I was kind of I wasn't as close to all of this as I wanted, you know, would want to be if I was a scientific observer. But there's this huge tumor taking up most of the where the internal organs would be, the heart, the lungs, whatever parts the sheep comes with. They weren't there.
And what are these Bath guys who are doing this saying at this point?
Some of them are muttering plenty of expletives over here. They're freaked out there. I remember saying, "See, I told you, you didn't want to go into that hole." You know,
that's right. And the two guys who volunteered in my first hour are probably rethinking it right now, too.
Well, if they want to collect on some life insurance, fine, go for it.
That's what one of them said, yeah.
Anyway, so we got this gel, and guy's good with a knife here, and he kind of is able to get the tumor out of this thing here.
Yeah?
And I say it's about as big as the sheep's cavity, I don't know, 2 feet? Long.
In other words, the tumor was almost taking
like
up the entire inside of
Okay, so you got this tumor, and we could see that the tumor had some movement to it.
What?
Yes, it had movement to it, and I'm going to describe it like a heart beating. There's not a beating of a heart. Just like a pulsing from this tumor.
A pulsing tumor. Oh, okay. My God, Mel.
So we get to the point where we got this tumor out there, and, you know, he's working on trying to cut it open. It's like really a tough thing to cut into, but he was finally able to get into it.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to tell you here. He opens it up there, and inside this tumor is what it appeared to be a fetal seal. Seal, like a pinniped, a thing that lives in the ocean that balances balls on his nose.
Yes.
It's about 18 inches long. You know, it's got the flippers on it. And it looks like a little seal.
Oh,
you know, it looks just like your little seal, except it had... I don't know. I don't want people to freak out, but it had what looked to me like human eyes. A human being.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what, like, cat eyes look like?
Oh, yeah.
You know what dog eyes look like?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what seal eyes look like, but I know what human eyes look like.
Sure you do.
And this thing looks like it had human eyes. And the thing was alive, but it was connected to the tumor, like with this umbilical cord.
Holy mackerel, Mel.
And we could see the seal moving his eyes, and it was... And I'm calling it a seal, okay, but I have no idea what the heck this thing is, okay? I'm calling it a seal. But it's opening his eyes, it's closing his... The flippers are moving. It's still connected to its tumor there. And then we noticed, and I noticed, that it seemed to be studying us. It seemed to be looking at us. That was the feeling I got. It seemed to be regarding us while we were looking at it. And so that's the feeling I got off of the seal. And then this thing separated from the tumor without our assistance. We thought, well, maybe we will cut this thing free.
Right there on the table.
It did it right there, and it moved about a little on the table.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all standing back at that point because this thing is loose, you know.
I'll be way back.
And you know, we're watching this seal. And again, that's the only way I could describe it because it looked like a seal to me.
Human eyes.
And then I felt, I just felt I was in the presence of something extraordinary, something beyond extraordinary, something like, I don't know. I'm not a religious man, but it felt in that category of having a religious thing there. This was just such a stunning thing to witness.
Well, something that far from our understanding would appear to be magic or religion or whatever you want to call it, I'm sure. Yeah, so what God's name happened to this thing?
Well, we left it there, and it began to, you know, it just kind of looked at us there, and, one of the Basques suggested we kill it, you know, and, you know, just kind of club it, and unfortunately, and...
is that what they did?
No, basically cooler heads prevailed. The thing was moving around on a table, and it finally moved to the edge of the table.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like struggling, but it got to the edge of the table.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was going to fall off.
Right.
So I go up to it at this point, because I'm just like out of my head with I don't know what I'm in the presence of. And it looked directly at me when I got up to it, and it seemed, you know, it seemed to have a contact with me. And I got this compelling feeling to pick it up and place it on the ground. And I did that. I took this thing and I put it on the ground by a table.
Yeah.
And my hands were slimy from the seal, because it had like this goo that was not only in the cavity, but also inside the tumor. And I'm just calling it a tumor because I have no vocabulary for this.
Right.
And I just moved my hands past my face before I decided to wipe them off on the rag at the table there.
Right.
And it smelled like ozone.
Like ozone?
Smells like
ozone. Of course I do, yes.
That's what it smelled like when I... Because I thought it would be some like sort of weird organic-y smell.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of like disgusting... I just thought it would smell disgusting. It smelled like ozone.
Okay.
So this thing is lying on the ground, and we're all looking at this thing here, and it's like looking at each of us in turn.
In other words, intelligently.
Yes. Yes. We must have been there just absolutely transfixed by this, and I'll call it a creature now, for like 2 hours.
What was it doing during those 2 hours? I mean, it
studying each one of us.
It wasn't moving around that much?
Just its head. Because we had gathered a safe distance away from it, but not too safe, you know. So we could easily see it, and it could easily see us. Because at this point here, even the bravest Basque were like, you know, kind of freaked out.
I'd have been long gone, Mel.
Well... Again, the Basques are great.
All right, well, hold it right there, Mel. Here's this thing on the ground now. Not moving around much, but carefully studying each and every one of them who have by now retreated to a safe distance. That's where we'll pick up when we get back. I'm Art Bell.